Today, let's have a look at Padre Pio and Modestino's incredible journey home. Hello friends, and welcome to this channel following Padre Pio. On this channel, through a series of short stories, we investigate the life of our great saint. He was a Capuchin friar, a mystic, a tremendous miracle worker. His name was Padre Pio. So do join us as we investigate the life of Padre Pio and to learn more about Padre Pio and also to see what his intercession could do for you. We do have a Mass every Friday in which we bring all of your intentions to the Mass to Padre Pio. We offer this Mass for Padre Pio. If you want to have your intentions included in the Mass, then just enroll them. Just see the video on the end screen, how to enroll your Mass prayer intentions. We encourage everyone to be part of this Padre Pio apostolate. You can help us by liking the video, share the video with your friends and colleagues, and you'll be contributing to the apostolate in that way. In today's story, we're going to have a look at the life of Modestino Fucci, who was born in Pietrelcina in 1917 to Anna Fucci and her husband. Now, Anna Fucci had grown up with young Francesco Forgione, the future Padre Pio. And so Anna was able to relate to Modestino many little amazing stories about Padre Pio. And Modestino would just never tire of hearing, of listening to these incredible stories. And she told him things like how Padre Pio had been so exceptionally reserved as a youth, and how Anna, from time to time, had invited Francesco to come and play with them in their group. But Padre Pio, Francesco, would usually turn them down. He just seemed to like to spend his time praying in the church. Otherwise, he was with his parents or grandparents. And even at that stage, when Padre Pio walked down the street, he was seen to be carrying his rosary. Well, later on, Anna got married, and their first child was born, Antonio. And Padre Pio at this stage was already regarded as a very holy man, as a holy priest. And so because of this, Anna had absolutely no fear of asking Padre Pio to take care of Antonio for her, while she had to take the food out to the workers in the fields, in their fields, on their lands. And Padre Pio, of course, he would sit there on the porch, on the balcony, and he would sit on a particular stone, and he would look after Antonio. So Modestino would later hear that today that same stone where Padre Pio had sat was considered a relic and it was preserved by the family. Well, later, Anna's next child was born. Her name was Incoronata. And Padre Pio wanted to baptize Incoronata as soon as possible. And he would say to her, to Anna, "We must make Incoronata a Christian. I want to baptize her." But Anna would just always delay. She did not want the baptism, "not until my husband returns from the military duty," she said. And one day Padre Pio came to Anna and he said, "Let's baptize Incoronata tomorrow because your husband will be returning tonight, this evening." Anna was skeptical. She was very doubtful. But sure enough, her husband did arrive, returning at midnight. And so the very next day, Incoronata was baptized. How did Padre Pio even know that he would be returning that evening? And so then, later on, in the future, Anna was not at all surprised to learn that Padre Pio now had the stigmata, the wounds of Christ on his hands and feet, because somehow she had known all along that he was a saint. And all of these stories, they made a great impact on Modestino. And slowly, Modestino developed a real desire, and he harbored a great desire to meet Padre Pio. And this opportunity came along not too long after that. One day, Modestino received call-ups to the military. But before going to the military, he wanted to receive Padre Pio's blessing for his protection. So both Modestino and his mother, they now made the trip to San Giovanni Rotondo. And there they were able to attend Padre Pio's Mass and also to go to confession with Padre Pio. And this meeting with Padre Pio, it was a real turning point in the life of Modestino. And from then on, he started to feel an intense love for prayer. And he also, with time, developed a desire to dedicate his entire life to God through one meeting with Padre Pio. Anyway, back in the military now, Modestino was assigned to Rome, and his job was to deliver messages around the place. But he also had free time, plenty of free time, to visit churches and to pray. And he was always talking to people about Padre Pio. Well, one day he shared these stories of Padre Pio with two officers. And they were both very interested, saying that they would actually like to go and meet with Padre Pio. And then not long after that, the officers and Modestino, all three of them, set off to San Giovanni Rotondo, and they were going to meet Padre Pio there. Now, these officers, the one was a captain in the army, and the other was from the Department of Agriculture. But when they went to meet Padre Pio, they were both wearing civilian clothes. So there's no ways that Padre Pio could know where they were from. But Padre Pio's first words to them were, "Oh, the poor army! And oh, the poor Department of Agriculture." He knew exactly where they came from, despite them being in civilian clothes. They had never met Padre Pio before, so they couldn't explain this, and they decided he must be a holy man. And so together, right there, with Modestino, they all drop to their knees, and they ask for Padre Pio's blessing. Certainly, of course, Padre Pio would give them his blessing. And specifically, he emphasized this point. He assured them of his protection. So after the blessing, they now all three departed back to Rome on the train. And now as the train was arriving, entering Rome, it was suddenly attacked and bombarded. An aerial bombardment, we presume. And the entire train was decimated. Every carriage was utterly destroyed, except the single carriage in which the three of them were. That was left untouched. And after this, immediately their minds turned to Padre Pio. Was this his protection for them? And so all of this continued to work on and to make this impression on Modestino. And he started to reflect further that perhaps now he has a calling to the religious life. And he started to desire to join the Benedictines in Rome. But he wanted to make sure about this before he did. So he wanted to ask Padre Pio. And now later on, it turned out there was an opportunity. Modestino and some friends of his, they were now on military leave. They were back in Petrolcina, and they had greeted their family and all of that. And they decided, let's make the trip up to Padre Pio's monastery. It was 25 miles of walking, a solid walk, an intense walk. But they offered all of this up for the success of their meeting with Padre Pio. And during their visit, Padre Pio spoke to them often, to Modestino and his friends. And he spoke with such great love of Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and also of all the angels. And then their time was up. It was now time for them to return to Petrolcina. And so, Modestino and his colleagues, they started to grow uneasy, because they knew of this long walk ahead of them, and they were hesitant. And Padre Pio picked up on this hesitancy, and then he turned to them and said, not to worry about the return journey, because divine providence will come to your assistance. And then later that day, they did indeed learn that a truck was arriving there unexpectedly, and that they would be able to take a journey back on the truck to Petrolcina. But a little later, when the truck did arrive, the scene had changed dramatically because the driver was now ill. He'd fallen ill with a very high fever. And so seeing this, Modestino now realized that their trip back was just not going to happen. And as this thought passed through his mind, Padre Pio turned to him. He said, you will definitely go back to Pietrelcina tomorrow. And after this, Padre Pio asked Father Bernardo, who was there, please could you take the temperature of the driver? His name was Tenino. Take his temperature. It was still very high. And a short while later, Padre Pio himself took the thermometer and he shook it a bit and he took the temperature. And at the stage, Tenino's temperature had already come down significantly. By the morning, Tenino was completely fine and they all drove back to Pietrelcina together. So this, of course, further strengthened Modestino's impression of Padre Pio. Then, in the year 1945, Modestino took up a post in San Giovanni Rotondo. And in exchange for his board and lodging, he would drive the owners of this establishment, he'd drive their cab. He just had to pick up people and take them and drop them at various locations in the morning, and then in the evening, collect them and bring them home. The rest of the time, he was absolutely free. And during his free time, of course, he would visit the monastery and his assisted mass, and he would get to spend time with all the friars. Well, the year passed like that. Then at the end of the year, Modestino began to encounter more and more difficulties. So we can only speculate, how had his situation changed? Was it by design or by chance? And had his original agreement been put to one side somehow? And Modestino, in his good Christian spirit, this was interpreted as weakness. So now they really tested his patience to the limit. And eventually, Modestino had no option. He quit. So imagine, now he's stranded and abandoned there. San Giovanni Rotondo, what could he do? Well, he made his way over to Padre Pio's monastery. Sounds often awful to be rejected like this, but it seems that Providence really had a plan for him. And so he told his whole story to Padre Pio. And Padre Pio listened, he just listened very carefully. And as he was telling the story, it was like layers of bitterness and resentments that Modestino had long harbored and festered in his heart, they just simply peeled away, they evaporated. So the ways of divine providence, apparent disaster happening, but in reality, something festering is being dealt with. And the door was now open after this. And he asked Padre Pio his idea of joining the Benedictines. What did Padre Pio think of this idea? Padre Pio said, I won't stand in your way, but I will not give you my blessing either. Because if you do join the Benedictines in Rome, remember this, a great disaster awaits you. It was all the warning that Modestino needed, and he grew quite weary after this, once bitten, twice shy, as they say. Put that Benedictine idea on hold. And within a couple of years, indeed, a great tragedy did hit the Benedictines in Rome because a band of robbers broke in into the monastery and they killed several of the friars. So Modestino was spared all of this. But how did Padre Pio know so far ahead of time this was going to happen? And so, little by little, all of these things had now worked on Modestino. And fortunately, by the time of the Benedictine disaster, Modestino had seen the light of his calling and he had joined the Capuchins as a lay brother. And so that was Modestino's journey to the monastery. What a strange and complicated path Friar Modestino had to walk. But also what coincidences he had encountered on the way. And wasn't this not the hand of divine providence moving through his life? So next time on this channel, we're going to have a look at a miracle which took place in Austria. And it is about how the Viennese were delivered from the Soviet communist occupation. And this was through prayer, using Padre Pio's weapon, which is, of course, is the rosary. And we've got to ask, what if the same solution were to be applied to Shanghai today, what would happen? Please do join us for that talk. We do encourage everyone, if you're new to our channel, subscribe to our channel, click that reminder bell too, and enroll your Mass Prayer Intentions, and do help us by liking and sharing the video.